valuable that you are. So it's continuing a celebration. So if you would turn with me to the Psalm 139 again, as we did last week, we're going to revisit this valuable verse. Psalm 139, 14. Now I'm actually going to read down through 18. So Psalm 139, starting in verse 14, and I'll read down through 18. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. It's a praise and it's a prayer of confidence. King David, this great man, we talked about him a little bit last week. This great man gave in totally, finally, admitting who God was, and that every day had already been counted and numbered for him, even though the day had not even been numbered yet. Before creation's creation, it goes that far back. That's what David thinks. He says, my soul was well with knowing this. I understand this now. It's in me. I've got it. And I want more of it. He praises God, and he says that God speaks so highly of him that if you could put them all into words and write them down, they would be greater than the sands of the earth. I don't know how many of you have been to the beach yet this year or plan to go, or just drive from here to Columbus and see the sand pits. They're all over the world. Sand's the great common denominator of this earth. David thinks in his soul it's a symbol for him. It's for him to think about how mighty and great God is. David's trying to paint us a picture. He's trying to get the picture in his head. He's trying to feel it in his heart that God thinks about him so much that you can't contain it, period. And I'm taken back to the man Job. And I'm taken to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It says that in heaven, day and night, in night and day, there is one who stands before the Lord and accuses us of being bad people. But that there are also elders in heaven who have been through the toils of earth, and there are angels there that sing his praises day and night and night and day and night, never ceasing. And one day, the one that accuses us of being bad is going to be locked away forever. His name is many names. And you know who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to give him any credit today because he doesn't belong in here. And he doesn't belong in your life. You're valuable. You're more valuable than anything that you can think of. It's so hard for people struggling through life. They think they're valueless. And those are the people that need rescued more than anything. The people who don't believe that their life is worth anything. They need to hear God's word. They need to hear mighty men and mighty women, King Esther's, the Davids, everyone in the Bible, all of God's heroes, they need to hear what people had to say about him in the past, and they need to hear what you would say about him today. Do you know God loves you? Do you feel that God loves you? Do you feel a release? I do. I feel released. I'm good to go. I'm okay. It's all right. Right, George? Poppy? Anytime, he said. Let's turn to some really, really loving scripture. Let's turn to Matthew 10, 21. We'll probably do a lot of Bible flipping today, so just get ready. Matthew 10. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 10. I want to tell you this morning that you're so valuable. God does not want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to fear this life. That song that we sang, I don't know what's about to happen tomorrow. Actually, I don't know what's about to happen the next second, the next one, and the next one. Richard, your friend. Mom, right? Grandma. Worked until she was 90-some years old and just suddenly took ill and the Lord took her home. We don't know. Earthbound, we don't know where we're going. If we did, we probably, well, I shouldn't say we. I'll take the we out of it. I probably would mess it up. God has a plan for you. But heaven bound, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm confident of that. I've been forewarned by God that He has a place prepared for me. And in this scripture that we're about to read together in Matthew chapter 10, He tells us not to be afraid here on earth. Here it goes. Verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. I say this all the time. This is one of my mantras. It comes from this scripture. They can't kill your soul. The problem is, the soul will never die. Is it a saved soul or is it a lost soul? If it is a saved soul, here's the deal. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Strong words. Plain words, though, isn't it? Isn't it plain? It's simple. This does not need to be hard for anyone. There is one person in control. He loves you more than anything. And He loves you enough to separate us so that our future is not compromised. I want you to try to grasp that with me because we're going to read the rest of this here in just a second. If need be, God will separate, and He will. If need be, God is going to separate the saved from the unsaved once you have breathed your last breath here on earth. Are you with me? And it's either a saved soul or a lost soul. And if it's a lost soul, if it's someone who has never given their life to Christ, when you step over the threshold from this world to the nether world, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you've not admitted who He is, then Christ Himself will say, I never knew you. Why would He do that? He's doing that to protect those who have recognized Him. There can't be anyone in the next life that is separate from God and is against God. He's protecting your eternal soul. That's why it's so important that while we're here on earth, that we pray for every family member, for everyone to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, you're preaching about how valuable you are. How could God separate us out? It's your future. The opportunity is here. The opportunity exists. We told the people at the nursing home last Sunday, it's this simple. You can go to church all of your life. You can teach Sunday school class. You can have an uncle that's a preacher. You can have a husband that's a preacher. You can have a wife that's a preacher. It doesn't matter how many preachers are in your family. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you're a lost soul. God will not have you spend eternity in fear anymore. God will not have you spend eternity worrying about another war. God will not have you spend eternity worrying about whether someone's going to steal something from you. He has prepared a place that is perfect for those who are redeemed. In the meantime, His love is shared equally, even with the vilest offender. He is ready to accept anyone, regardless of what they've done or where they've been. He will accept you while you have a breath left in your body. And all you have to do is admit who Christ is. Know it in your heart, admit it with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Period. So here's the rest of this. Verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." We read last week that even the deer give birth because of God. God knows when every sparrow falls from the sky, when every squirrel gets run over on the highway, from any part of His creation is hurt or damaged in any way, God's aware of it. Because He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the great Creator. He feels everything that we do and everything that we are. In verse 30 it says, "And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Many. He doesn't say just one sparrow. He says, if God cares about every sparrow that falls from the air, and if He makes sure that they are fed, how much more does He care for you who was created in His image? I told you last week to look in the mirror. When you look there, don't think you're not valuable because you're seeing part of who God is. Don't put yourself down. Lift yourself up when you look in that mirror. You're staring. The image staring back at you is part of God's creation. And He's crazy about you. He loves you. Don't put yourself in a hole. God's trying to lift us up. Therefore, verse 32, "Whoever confesses Me before men, him I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him I will also deny before My Father is in heaven." And we call Christ the peacemaker, and I'm going to explain this next verse to you before we move on. Christ says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." And we're going to finish this. "And he who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after Me is not worthy of Me. And he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for My sake will find it. And he who receives you receives Me, and he who receives Me receives Him who sent Me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. This is harsh stuff, but it has to do with how valuable you are. He wants to save his creation. And the only way to save his creation is for him to have you, his creation, honor him. He's had enough. He's had enough rejection. There's enough prophets running around prophesying that they know this and they know that. There's only one prophet that's any account to any of us as far as our soul goes, and that's Jesus Christ. And we can preach until we're blue in the face, but unless we present God's word to you and are not ashamed of it, then we do no good at all. God's word is simple. Accept who I am and put me first in your life. And then love one another. And God says those two things are equal. You can't disavow his, you can't not love someone. You don't have to like them. You don't have to put up with their foolishness. You don't have to do what they do. You don't have to join them in doing bad, but you must love the creation. And there will be people in your family who will not receive this word. And you'll have to love them until the day they pass over, but they're in God's care and not yours. And if you don't put, and if you put them in front of God, he says, I don't know who you are. And when Christ says, we call Christ the peacemaker, and he is. He's the ultimate peacemaker because he's going to separate the bad from the good, and there will be ultimately peace. But getting there is going to ruffle some feathers here on earth. Truth is truth. And if I preach it any otherwise, my Bible says I'm to be condemned. The only value I have here on earth is to speak for him. Tough stuff. If you love someone enough, you will let them seek God. And they may have to do it on their own without you pushing them. So you put God first. And ask them to be in God's hand and not in yours. He'll do the separating. Are you with me? This is tough stuff. But to see your value, you've got to see how serious is God about this thing, about saving your soul. He's serious about this. This isn't, oh, we'll let this one in and that one in. No. It's the people who have decided in their heart that God is real and that he loves us. And the biggest thing that you should have taken out of that little series that we just read there is that if you do not take up your cross, you're not one of mine. And you need to understand what your cross is. Your cross is not the cross of Calvary. That belongs solely to Christ Jesus. That is a cross where forgiveness happened for all of mankind, for any who will receive him. Your cross is to forgive others who have done something to you. I'm going to say that again. I want to make sure that everybody understands this. Your cross is a burden of forgiveness. Do we need to read it again? Verse 38, and if he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You have something hidden in your heart or something against someone. It doesn't matter if they did it against you. It doesn't matter how it happened. And it can be a whole group of people. It can be huge prejudice in your life. Or it can be as small as one thing said was said to you a long time ago that you can't get it out of your heart. It's time to bring it to the altar and let Christ wash it clean and take it away from you. It's time. That's what Paul Perry said to me last Sunday and his wife Christine. They said, we have put this off our whole life. And hearing what you said from God's word, we decided that today it was time before it was too late. And they confessed to Christ and they wept those tears of joy that you can only experience when that happens. And they got the cleansing that they sought before it was too late. I don't know who they had to forgive or what, but there was something going on in their life. They said that they had been believers all their life, but you know what they said? They said, we just couldn't find it in our hearts to give in to God. They admitted it. Those were their words, not mine. We just could not give in. But we've given in today. We read some other scripture last week. I'm just going to repeat a little bit of it. Not only are we more valuable than the sparrows, Christ, God said, I've given you dominion over all the sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the fields and all the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. And I've crowned you with glory and honor as the pinnacle and final act of the 6 days of creation. Genesis 1:26, and I want you to turn there with me. Genesis 1:26. I love this. I've preached on this before. I've taught about this in Bible school, Bible study. But I want to share this with you this morning. Because when you read the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1, it finals out. And it says this. Then God said, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, and God said, and God said, you with me? I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now anybody can read that, but are you prepared for what it really says? You see, if you read the rest of the creation story, you again see how valuable you are. We've been in Matthew, we've been in the Psalm, now here we are back at the creation again to show you how much God loves you. He spent 5 days getting everything ready for you and me. In God's days, and don't you can argue this with some other preacher, but you'll never get to argue this with me. Because I don't know if one day for God was a trillion years or a billion years or 24 hours. Does it matter? Doesn't matter to me. My Bible does say that one day is like 1,000 years to God, and that's just an example. So I don't care if it was 20. They didn't even have 24-hour clocks when God created the earth. There wasn't any eye watches back then. Time was just time, and it was God's time. You figure it out. Ask Him when we get there. Is that going to be your first question? How long did it really take? And he'll answer, one of my days. How long was that, God? It was my day. It's not measured in man's days. God doesn't think the way we think. And if you think that scripture doesn't exist, it does. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're pure, and they're without question holy. God spent 5 days creating everything for you. And for you. And for those in the back too, even the backseat Baptists, yes. He spent all of His love and creativeness making a beautiful place for us to exist. Gave us every seed. He didn't create us and then tell us, go to work creating seeds. You think things don't multiply on their own? I haven't had cattle on my farm for quite a while. The weeds are absolutely taking over because the ground has not been tended the way that it should have been tended. I have not been a good husbandman for the ground. It's true. The weeds will take over in your life. They'll get in your head, they'll get in your bed, they'll get everywhere. It'll confuse you when you stop thinking about how great God is and how much He loves you. If you don't look at this creation of His and at each other especially, you see, He says, I've done all of this for you. I've given you every tree, every herb, everything, every animal. It's for your benefit. You need to take care of it. And I did it for you. I gave it to you. It's in your care. He didn't create the seed for the seed. He created the seed for the man and the woman. Are you getting this? I'm excited about this. Every time I read this creation story, I get that much more excited about how much God loves me because He got everything ready for me and then invited me to the party. And what do? Kick sand in His face. In fact, He says that, and this is how we're going to end, but we'll end on a happy note. I'll get you there, I promise. He says that from the very beginning, you exchanged truth about me for a lie. You worshiped and served created things rather than me. You've sinned and fallen short of my glory. And just as I said to Adam and Eve, the penalty for your sin is death. And in your sin, you were spiritually dead. You were children of wrath. And I'll give you every scripture if you want, but you burn your Bible up if I did this. Believe me, this is scripture. You were children of wrath, living as enemies to me. You turned aside from me. You became corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And what you deserve is my righteous judgment. And yet, in my great love, I gave my unique Son, that all those who believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And while you were still hostile toward me, you were reconciled to me by the death of my Son. Romans 5:8 through 10. And sin does not have the last word. Grace does. Isn't that the most marvelous thing? Sin doesn't get the last word in our lives. I've got goosebumps. My hair is standing on end. He loved us so much. He created. He gave us all these things. We kicked sand in His face. We did everything wrong. And yet, if you don't think you're valuable, then take your most precious loved one and let them die for the rest of mankind. Because that's what God did. Sin has no power over the grace of God. In fact, it's wiped out entirely. All of the evil of the earth can be taken away from your life, and you can see how valuable you are just by looking at the Christ that God sent to save us. Sin does not get the last word. Grace. Grace. God's grace gets the last word. Here's some scripture that I'm going to share with you, and then we'll turn to some at the end. I've adopted you. Ephesians 1:5. You are children of God, heirs of God. 1 John 3:2, Romans 8:16 through 17. You are no longer orphans. You belong to me. John 14:18. And I love you as a perfect father. And that's where I would like you to turn. 1 John, back of your Bible, the book of 1 John. First John, chapter 3. This is how precious you are. I love Scripture when it starts with this word, behold. It's, wake up. Pay attention. Behold. Here it is. I'm going to share something really great with you. I've got some good news for you today. Behold, it says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Wow. Wow. See, to accept the Son and His righteousness is to have His righteousness applied to you. And someday when we're separated by the bounds of earth and we walk into those foreverness that God has created, we will be more like Him than we've ever been. We'll be deemed precious forever. And we will be pure for once in our lives and for eternity's sake. It doesn't get any better than that. Any loved one, any father, any mother, any friend, any family member couldn't want more for you than that, could they? That you'd be clean forever, right? We're praying for people to get clean today, aren't we? Family members that have problems, that are stuck in a rut. Even older adults that are, you know, having trouble with prescription medications today. Not by ones or twos, but by hundreds of thousands. And perhaps even millions worldwide. They need free, don't they? They need freed from that. They need purified. They need cleansed. Right? Well, Christ is the one that can do it. Because we have a loving Father. He tells us all those bad things we've done so that we can learn that whatever we have done, it's okay with Him if we get clean. See? He doesn't want any of us to do any of the bad things that we do. But He's willing to work with us and forgive us. And I take you back to the scripture that said, if you do not pick up your cross, then you have no part of Me. If He's going to forgive us and make us clean, then we owe it to everyone else in our life to forgive them as well, don't we? That's the cleansing that can take place here on earth. That's what you can do while you're here, waiting on the time when you will be perfectly clean. But while we are here, we can be in prayer, we can ask for forgiveness, and we can give forgiveness. We can lavish forgiveness on someone in our life that may not think they deserve it, to show them that Christ lives in us. Yes, He'll separate us, and yes, there's coming a time when we'll cross from this life to the next, and those that have accepted Him will go one way, and those that have not will have to go another, because He loves you, because He loves you that much. If they refuse to admit Him here, He can't let you and them mix together in the hereafter. It's not possible. It has to be pure. You have to be cleansed. We can't spend eternity with people who don't believe. Sad on the earthly side, but in heaven we will understand completely what He has done. And we will praise Him, we will thank Him, and we will bless Him with our thanksgiving every day of the rest of our eternal life. Tell people how valuable they are in your life. Let them know that they're loved. Let them know that they're forgiven if that is necessary. Let them know that God has a special place prepared for them and you want to spend eternity with them. Let's pray.